Let's bring it back. Those of you watching online, I'm glad you're online. Welcome. Let's bring it back. Romans chapter 3, James chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. Romans chapter 3, James chapter 1, Acts chapter 3, after 2, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2. Welcome to church, guys. Welcome to 2022. Welcome to church. You missed church last week. We close out 2021. This year, we're going to launch this Sunday, Church Vision, and welcome to church. I love the church. Amen? I honestly do love the church. And with all the misconceptions or sometimes the church falls short of what it's supposed to be, I still love the church. The best advice I ever gotten was to always keep the church beautiful, no matter what. To always keep her beautiful. And number two, to have thick skin and a deep heart. Like in church, people will hurt you in life, whether you're in church or not in church. People are people. And they will disagree with you, and they will argue with you, and they sometimes will do things that is unpleasant. But to always keep the church beautiful, and to have thick skin and a deep heart. I love this church. I love this church in this particular location. I don't know why God put us here back in 1985 where this building was resurrected. But he put us here for a reason. And I love where we're at. I love that God brought all of us here together. And I love whether you're watching online, and you're trying to discover what church is about, or stumbling on our website or Facebook page, and you're just watching us right now, I love that you're here. And you in here this morning, that you got lost and you stumble yourself in here, or you have nothing else to do, or you're running away from the snow and you're here, but I love that you're here. I love that all of us are here. Well, maybe some of you, except my God. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because we are the church. And I love what God is doing through this church. You ever have a chance to talk with Gary Bowes? There was a point in this church lifetime, not too long ago, a couple of years ago, it was going to close its door for good. And Gary Bowes says, no. We are going to keep the doors open because people need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad you did. So they pray and they pray and they pray. So I love this church. The question is, why are we here? What role do we play in this particular church? And I hope after today you kind of understand and discover why God put us all here together in this particular church. Not down the street, up the street. Those churches are doing a great work as well. But why are we together here in this room today and watching online? I have some really good news for you. Like some really, really good news. I want you to do me a favor. Just look right, look left, look behind you. Just look at someone in the eyes. All right, that's enough, right? Some of you guys were like, whoa. But here's the good news. All of us in this room, the people to your right, the people to your left, the people that's behind you, in front of you, we're all are imperfect people. Amen? That is the yes. Keith, like, yes, please. Some of you guys wear shorts, sandals here. Some of you guys wear dress up to come here. Some of you guys have no idea what you put on this morning, but you're here. All of us are imperfect people. Some of you have terrible weeks. Some of you guys have great weeks. Some of you guys coming into this building might have a conflict with somebody as well, but you're here. Because all of us in this room are imperfect people. We all have a past. And we all don't have all the answers. And that's okay.
And that's the beauty of the church. In Romans chapter 3, it says this, "For all have sinned," it's on the screen, "and fall short of" what? "The glory of God." For all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. This is a great reminder for us. You don't understand what it means for us to read that verse, "For all have sinned and fall short in the glory of God." There was a time in church history, roughly 30 years after the birth of the church, you were not allowed to follow God. There were people who says you're simply not good enough to follow God. You're not religious enough to follow God. You don't deserve God's grace. You don't deserve to set foot into a synagogue. You don't deserve to go and worship God. You don't even deserve to have relationship with people who believe in God. Talking about prejudice. Talking about exclusion. Talking about you don't belong. There was a point in church history that you are not allowed to worship simply because you are not good enough. So Paul, who was a missionary, who was a Jewish man, he wrote a letter to the religious people and he says, "Let me remind you guys, for all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And he made way for us to worship God." Now we read that today and just say, "Oh, we all fall short in the glory of God." I want you to think about there was a time where that has to be written. And it was written for who? It was written for the religious people who might think they're too good to associate themselves with sinners. Or maybe even cast a stone out there and say, "You're not good enough to be in here with us." Well, good news is this. All of us in this room are imperfect people. Praise the Lord. But I have even more good news for you. There's a second verse to this verse. It's, "For all have sinned and fall short in the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Amen? You don't understand how special this verse is for you and I to sit here and worship God. First, you weren't good enough, but yet. "And all are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." We are all are imperfectly people. Imperfectly perfect in the eyes of Jesus because of Jesus. Amen. This, and let's make this clear, this is the only reason the church is here. This is the only reason why we gather together to worship this thing we call church. We don't have a strategy, marketing plan to grow a church. We don't have giveaways so that you can come back to church. We don't have any type of special string to keep pulling you to come back to church. We don't even have Facebook ads to try to get people from another church to come to our church, because you know how Facebook algorithm works. It goes to who? People who are in the same manners that you're trying to advertise to. The only reason this church is here, because all of us are imperfectly perfect in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And we do not have all the answers to your hard theological questions of why doesn't God just wave his hand and this whole pandemic will go away. How many of you guys wishes that would happen? Yeah. Me too. Me too. We don't have a declaration for you to claim so your bank account would change when you wake up in the morning. How many of you guys have seen that on Facebook all over the place? Here's a declaration. You need to claim it and your bank account would change. We don't have that. We don't even have a prophecy for you about your life for tomorrow. We're not matchmakers either. We're not here to help you meet your mate. And we're certainly not here to help you how to have this special relationship with God. God looks at you all the same, and he loves you very, very much through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And we're actually not here to help you grow your business either. The church is here because all of us are imperfectly perfect in the eyes of God. There is a scene in the scripture after Jesus went to heaven. The disciples were struggling. They're like, what do we do? What do we now? Where do we go? Who do we preach to? Who do we need to share the word to? So they were walking to the temple, and there was a guy sitting at the temple gate, and he was an invalid. He couldn't walk, so he was begging for money. He says, hey, give me something. Give me something. Give me something. And the disciples look at him, and this is what they said. Acts chapter 3, then Peter said and said, silver or gold we do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. I know. I wish we have something more to give. I know. I wish we had this miraculous way of saying, hey, you're healed and you're this and you're that and your bank account. I wish we have some kind of formula where we kind of get you to come back to church. But the only thing we have really is Jesus Christ and get up and walk. The message of the church is very simple. No gimmicks, no giveaways, no marketing. We want you to know Jesus, and we want you to know in this room, all of you, most of you are Christians. You are perfectly loved by God who sent his son Jesus Christ on the cross to die for your sins. That Jesus is our eternal salvation. Amen? Jesus lived, died on the cross, and rose on the third day to save our souls. A fancy word for this, propitiation, some of the theologian likes to use, is that he take on your punishment. He replaces our sins. And I want to make this clear. Jesus is not just another religion that we put on the shelf. A Jesus doesn't coexist with other gods. Jesus doesn't share a heaven with someone else's God. Jesus is our eternal salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Amen? That is the reason why the church, it's here. And if you stumble in here this morning, maybe for the first time, and you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, what about? No, there's no wait a minute. There's no wavering from that. And you're watching this online and you stumble across us, there's no wavering from that. Jesus is simply not another God for you to share with and then share with someone else. Jesus is the only way, the way. No name under heaven where we must be saved. Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting here this morning and never accept that gift, that invitation that Jesus is your Savior, and you've never been baptized, today might be your day. Where I need Jesus Christ in my life. I'm tired of just adding him as another God on my shelf. I'm tired of just making him as another activity I go to. This Sunday I go to church, and next Sunday I go to that guy, and the next Sunday I go to that guy. The following Sunday I go there. No, is Jesus the Lord of your life, or he is not? And the scripture said there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And it's the only reason, and let us not forget, why we exist. Now, we established that. That was hard, right? That's hard for you to hear. You know, okay, new, can take it easy. You say you have a lot of good news. That is good news. That we're all imperfect people, but God loves you, and he saves you through Jesus Christ. That is the good news. But now what? How do we deal with this, and where do we play in the context of this? What does it look like to follow this Jesus or this religion, as the world calls it? What do we do? What's God calling us to do? How many of you guys wonder that all the time? Like, what is my purpose? What is it? Here's your answer. James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Read it out loud. Let's go. Religion
is that our Father, our that God our Father accepts our pure and faultless, is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's the reason all of us are getting together. You are saved by grace in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ. Now we're worshiping, we're getting together, but for what? Is to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In short, write this down in your Bible, on your notes, wherever you need to, write it on your phone, put on Facebook, whatever you need to do. But the only thing God asked of us to in this life as you follow him is this, is to have a charitable heart and to live a holy life. That's the only thing God asked of us. Is to have a charitable heart and to live a holy life. And that's why we gather together here. The recent study, it shows this. On people who are generous, more highly generous generosity respondents reported being satisfied with life and being happy daily than low generosity responders. This is a study by Ascents. They do research all over the world. It says people who are more generous are more likely to believe that life is meaningful, be more optimistic, and be proud of who they are. Generous respondents reported higher scores on the closeness of their relationships, their number of friends, and the number of friends who would help them out of tough situations. High generosity respondents were happier with every factor relating their jobs and their careers. Positive measures of mental and physical wealth were correlated with being generous. It's only two things God calls us to do. To live a generous life, or a generous heart, and a holy life. Generosity helped this church a lot. In the last 2 years of this pandemic, we replaced 3 new AC units. Doesn't it feel good in here? There was a time where I look out in the congregation and you were doing this. When's the AC working? We replaced 3 AC units. We kept the doors open. We changed those doors for security purposes at the time where the market price shot it up to everything was so expensive, but we needed to do it. We kept the doors open for ministry purposes. We gave a lot. We give Propel a place where they can call home here. All they have to do is help pay for the utilities at a very discounted rate. We kept the French American school here to keep the doors open by not charging them a marketed price. We're actually charging them 1/3 of the market price because of your generosity. We're able to hire Genesis as a young adult who's kicking off next week. We're partnering with her to help with the school because of some of your generosity. We fed FAU students every single Friday and Thanksgiving lunch. That money has to come from somewhere. We help earthquake reliefs. We help pay for people's bills when they have a death in the family or needed a place to live. We help people pay the monthly rent just so they can stay in their house throughout the holidays. That money has to come from somewhere. That's through your generosity. Check this out, church. You yourself, Connected Life Christian Church, gave over $270,000 this year in our church. Amen? That is a lot of, yeah, Caitlin, you can clap, yeah. You gave $270,000 to our church. Some of you guys use the biblical principle of 10% to God, 10% to saving, and the rest you can spend. Some of you guys gave some, and some of you guys gave all. Some of you guys gave what you can afford. You gave $270,000 to our church this year. And then we count the user group that uses our building, we brought in a total of a little over $406,000. We finished the year with over $60,000 in the positive.
That's generosity. We have some awesome family here in our church. And you heard last week, we gave away a ton of money as well. This year alone, we're budgeted. And we're going to give above and beyond that. We're giving away $20,000, which is the most our church ever gave to missions this year coming up. We budgeted $20,000. That's only to missions. That's not counting J.C. Mitchell and FAU or the families that we're going to help pay for their needs this year, or the hurricane reliefs or the earthquake reliefs. That is just to missions. We have some very generous people here. Your generosity has put us in a position to interview and get ready to hire a youth pastor, to reach out to kids like Caitlin and all the kids on her block. We're having a final interview on February the 5th. I hope he's the guy. I hope he's the guy. Your generosity has put us in a position to continue to have awesome children ministry. Your generosity has put us in a position to keep the doors open every single Sunday and make it available for the live feed to go into people's homes. That's your generosity. That's the only thing God called us to do as being a Christian, is to live a generous, to have a generous heart and live a holy life. Generosity helps us live a blessed life and bless lives. One of the things my wife and I live by, and it's on our household motto, is this. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. That's by Jim Elias, who was a missionary in the Amazon. He says, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And we live by that in our own family and how we run this church. It's like, why do we give our money away to the community rather than just using it for ourselves? Two things God asks of us is to have a charitable heart and live a holy life. Now, living a holy life is no easy task. Right? How many of you guys think the Christian walk is, it's impossible? We sin every single day. It's impossible. You're not going to be perfect until you see Jesus in heaven. Right now, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right now, God sees you as perfect through Jesus Christ. But you're not perfect yet. You still struggle. There's sins in this world. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. So how do we live a holy life? There's a secret to this. And it's not that big of a secret, actually. And it's what our church motto goes by. And we do this every single week. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the numbers daily those who were being saved. This is our church motto. We do five things at this church. We teach the Bible. We pray. We pray a lot. And I'll cover that in a second. We take communion every Sunday and fellowship in homes. And we give. We give generously. We have this big word around here, and it's simple. We call it living life together. Living life together. And that's it. And every need in this church has been met throughout the years because we simply living life together. So this is how we're going to do that. Show that on the screen real quick for me. Next slide. There are a ton of activities in this church to help you live a holy life. You can't live a holy life by yourself, according to Acts chapter 42. The believers are meeting, gathering together. 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 Sometimes you need me to pray for you, or sometimes I need you to pray for me. Sometimes I need just another Christian brother or sister in Christ to just sit down and talk. Here are a couple things we have here at our church, and I would love for you to participate this year. Women's Bible study every Thursday at 6 p.m. right here on Zoom and in person. There's no reason for you not to attend.
Sunday Bible School Study by Errol Cunningham at 9:15 a.m. We have men's lunch here every Tuesday. We meet in that room, we sit around, and we talk. Sometimes we talk about the Bible. Most of the time we talk about the Bible, we pray for each other. A lot of time it's just community. Getting to know one another better. Men's lunch here, we have men's breakfast that meets at the Griddle every Friday. Rick missed the memo this past Friday, so he went there by himself. And no one showed up because we took a little break. But it's continued this Friday. We have fitness program here on Mondays at 6 p.m. Fitness program to help you get healthy, to stay in shape as well. Rayma, raise your hand real quick. She teaches us sometimes. She works at Johnny O's gym. Have a friend came with her this Sunday because she invited someone that she was working out with. We have fitness program here every Monday night at 6 o'clock. We have young adults Thursday at 7:30 p.m. by Genesis. There's no reason to not participate. We have a Creole Sunday school class by Brennis. If you know someone who needs some extra help to navigate through this country, doesn't speak English that well yet, and still wants to be involved, we have a Creole Sunday school available. We have prayer groups. You know, Gary, it's a prayer warrior. Every second Saturday at 8 a.m. here at our church, you get together. He has a list of things that we pray for at our church. A lot of times, mostly my wife and my kids, the Nugent's family. We surely need it. We have a college lunch every Friday at 12:30 here. You can certainly help out. But if you're a young college student, just need a meal on a Friday, come on by. It's hot and it's fresh. We have connect groups. For 5 years, or even more, almost 7 years, this church has not have a connect group. What is connect group? A small group that we all just live life together. Watch this. Roll that video.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Obviously, I'm joining you here via video to talk about our vision for 2022. Unfortunately, due to some things I've got going on at work, I've got to be in South Carolina this week. But I wanted to share with you a little bit about our small groups ministry as we move forward. So starting in 2022, what we are going to be doing is we're going to be meeting together as a church family inside of homes once a week, rather than having our connected time here on Wednesdays. Part of the reason why we really are wanting to transition away from, you know, the group meeting that we were having here and more focusing on small groups is because we think it's important that as a church that we gather together as a family and we really do life together outside of this building so we can share in our joys and our pains, and we have a group of folks that we can relate to and really kind of do life together with moving forward. And so what I'm asking for you guys to do today is to think about either hosting or leading a small group within your homes. And I know they sound like the same thing, but those are two different asks. So I'm asking for volunteers for hosts and volunteers for leaders. And if you would, reach out to me on my email. It's evesidney@gmail.com, or you can certainly reach out to Betsy here at the church and just share with her your willingness to either host or to lead one of our small groups within each of your homes. We're going to ask for an initial 6-week commitment, and as a group, we're going to be meeting once a week at each of our homes, and I'll be providing the curriculum on a weekly basis that we will study together as a church family. In addition to small groups that are getting ready to kick off in February of this year, we're also going to be creating a community calendar, and that's where we're going to ask you guys as a church to post and log any events that you guys have going on within your lives that you would like members of the church family to come and support you at. So things like kids' soccer games or baseball games, post them on there, and then hopefully some of the members of the church will get to know what you've got going on on within your personal lives, and then we can come out and we can support each other as we do life outside of this building. But guys, I am super excited about what the small groups ministry will mean for us here at Connected Life Christian Church. I do ask that if you would, if you are interested in volunteering as either a host or a leader, that you get back to me within the next week. And then once we gather all of the hosts and leaders, what we'll do is in a couple of weeks, we're going to gather together on Sunday afternoon, right after church service, where we will let you guys know where all the life groups are being located, what days those folks are able to host in their homes, and then we'll have a time where everybody can gather together and sign up for life groups moving forward. So guys, thank you again so much. I hate that I can't be here with you today, but please, if you have any questions or concerns, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Thanks.
So next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet in the back. You can either be a host or a leader. You can be a host and a leader. And once we gather all that, we'll roll it out. If one thing we can learn from what's happening in our country and with the pandemic in the last couple, 2 years now, it's not the church services. It's not what we do in here. But what we can learn in the last 2 years is this. It's how we're living life together, how we reached out, how we pray, how we sit down and break bread with one another. How can we support one another? The two things God's asked of us after you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, as you're a part of this church, and I'm asking you to be a part of this church, to be a part of what we're doing in year 2022, is to have a charitable heart, to live a holy life. We'll kick off next week with the book of Joshua, talking about hope for 2022. Hope. How can we give hope to the world this year? Amen. As the band come forward. Again, if you never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, don't share him with another God somewhere. Those are false gods on the shelf. Begin 2022 with knowing that Jesus is the only name under heaven where we must be safe. So if that's you this morning, I'm inviting you to come forward, meet me up here. We have a baptistry. We'd love to baptize you today. But don't leave here today not accepting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Let's stand. If you have any prayer at all, our elders will be up here to pray with you as well.